Hi, and welcome to Sybil's Book Club from the Tom Joyner Morning Show and on blackamericaweb.com. I am Sybil Wilkes, and it gives me great pleasure to have the opportunity to talk with the great Leslie Stahl and her new book, The Joys and Science of the New Grandparenting, Becoming Grandma. It is a wonderful book. Hello, Leslie Stahl.
Hello, Sybil. Thank you for having me on.
Or should I say, hi, Lolly?
You should say, hi, Lolly, because that's my grandmother handle. Yes.
It is a great book. With full disclosure, everybody knows, not married, no children, no grandchildren.
And you still liked it.
I loved it because it brought back such great memories of my own grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And the opportunities of growing with them as they were in different parts of the country. But still, there was one grandmother, my mom's mom, who was in Kansas City and I was in Chicago, so we were a lot closer. And then both grandmothers were in Los Angeles after a while. So the different things of that time period growing up and how things are changing and have changed, and you bring it full circle in your book, talking not only about your becoming a grandmother and the great opportunities with Jordan and Chloe.
Yep, Jordan and Chloe.
But also you talk about the science of it and break it down with statistics and things. And so how did you decide that not only were you going to tell your story, but you were going to flesh it out and how all of this affects so many different people?
Well, a publisher came to me to ask me to write a book about 60 minutes. And I thought, oh, my God, that is insane. If I really wrote the real story of 60 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, I wouldn't be working for another minute. I'd be out of there so fast. And I like my job, so I said no.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so then the publisher and I were having lunch, and I just talked about my grandchildren nonstop. And he said, that's your book. You should write about it. And I had to think first before I said yes whether it was a book. Can this sustain? And I just sat there with a pad of paper and wrote down all the questions I would try to answer. And the first big question was, what was that initial emotion that I had had the first time I held my first grandchild that was so huge and so unexpected and so full body? I mean, what was that? And no one ever told me about that.
Right.
And so that propelled me into the science, because it turned out that's hormones, really, and brain rewirings, all kinds of physiological changes. And then I wanted to know, I have girlfriends who are step-grandmothers, and I wanted to know if they feel the same way I do, and they do.
Mm.
Steps can feel the same way.
Sure.
Surrogates can feel the same way. And then I knew about this building in the Bronx because I had done another story, a story for 60 Minutes. I knew there was something called the Grandmother Building, built by the City of New York for grandmothers and great-grandmothers who have full custody and are raising little babies. And I knew that I could write a whole chapter just on that building.
Mm.
I wanted to know about grandfathers because I had had a colleague, everybody knows Bob Simon.
Yes.
Well, Bob was depressed. He was in a really bad funk, and it had gone on for a while. And then he had a grandson, and I'm telling you, he popped out of that depression. That grandchild, made him better.
Mm.
And I wanted to explore that. So I realized I had a bunch of questions that needed to be answered. So then I said, I can make this a book.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And we are talking to the great Leslie Stahl. She has been a White House correspondent. She's moderated Face the Nation. She's broken big stories. And now as a correspondent, 25 years, Leslie, with 60 Minutes?
At 60 Minutes. 25 years. It doesn't even feel that way to me.
Awesome.
It's weird.
But now it appears that the greatest role of her life is being a grandmother and telling the story. That was so powerful, talking about when your mother was going out and your granddaughter was coming in, and when you put her to you for the very first time and you held her, your granddaughter, and that was so beautifully told. Just really
well,
lovely.
It was explosive. Mm-hmm. It was, we love our children passionately when they're born, and yet being a mother and being a father is so tinged with worry, fear, because we are there to protect them and to make sure they're good citizens and that they, you know, eat their vegetables and all of that. And here comes, as a grandparent, the purest love. There's no conflicting issues. It's just love, and you fall in love, and they are perfect, and they are beautiful, and it just happens. You don't plan it. You don't know what's going to happen to you. Suddenly, you are the most indulgent marshmallow on the planet. I mean, whatever you were like as a parent, and all of us had to discipline and criticize our children, none of that comes out of us with our grandchildren. Yeah, you laughed. It's kind of amusing, but it's universal. We're all like that.
That's the absolute truth. I'm a godmother several times over, and I just know that, you know, the way I am with my godchildren when they have babies, that it will be completely different as well. Just based upon, you know, having seen that with other friends of mine. You also talk about, you mentioned Bob Simon, but your husband is also, you saw the difference in him as well.
Well, that is a really dramatic episode in our lives. My husband has Parkinson's disease. And when the child, our first grandchild was born, his symptoms went away. It was really strange because Parkinson's is, you only get worse. That disease goes in one direction.
Right.
And he, what was happening? Did he not have Parkinson's? Did he have something else? Well, he had Parkinson's. We know that because a year later, the symptoms did return. But there's only one explanation, really, because we went from doctor to doctor. They never could figure it out. And it just was the power of that new loving. It was. And I do know from studies that having a grandchild can be therapeutic. It wasn't just Bob Simon's, depression listing.
Sure.
There are other studies that show that if you take care of a grandchild, you get healthier. It can fend off dementia. And you certainly, absolutely get happier.
Wow. I've done rocking of babies, you know, volunteering at the hospitals and things, and I know that it does something for them as well as for us. But that's
really important to do that, Sybil.
It
you should
really
be
is.
Telling everybody to do what
it
you're doing.
It is so powerful. It really is.
And good for you is the point, too. Obviously, it's good for the babies, but it's good for you.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, the feeling that you get is just unbelievable. You're absolutely right. And you talk about, you break down in Becoming Grandma, you break down a lot of facts and statistics about grandmas, like the average age of the grandma today, is it 50?
It's 50.
Wow.
Isn't that stunning?
Wow.
That was one of the most surprising things I came upon. 50. That means that there are as many grandmothers under 50 as over 50.
Yeah. Yes.
Who knew that, right?
I know. And
I know that. I mean, this ridiculous stigma. There is a crazy stigma. People who hear the word grandmother think old, like it's one word, right? It's totally the same. And it's not. And it's crazy. And one of the reasons I did want to write the book was to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is crazy. Forget that. That's not true. And stop thinking about it that way.
It is very interesting, the conversations you have with your girlfriends and colleagues about their becoming a grandma. And one that we know is Whoopi Goldberg, who became a grandma at a very young age.
Oh, ridiculously young age. She was horrified. She was 30-something, I forget, 33, something ridiculous. And she would look in the mirror and she would say, not me. That's not true. But, you know, she had the major part of her career hit when her daughter was in puberty. And Whoopi asked her mother to come and live with her and basically raise her child.
Mm-hmm.
And Whoopi, a lot of working mothers, I'm one of them, know that we missed way too much of our children's growing up. She really felt that deeply. But she is a committed grandmother and talks about that falling in love the first time she held her grandchild. I mean, this is, I heard the same thing over and over. It didn't matter what age the grandmother was. It didn't matter where she came from. Didn't matter her economic status. Everybody talks about it the same. One of the grandmothers who is raising a child in the building, the grandmother building in the Bronx, said when she saw, she was raising three, when she saw the youngest, she said, I can't raise another one. I just can't. I've done two. I can't raise this one. And she said to me, I held that baby, I looked into her eyes, and I was hooked like a fish. And I thought, yeah, that's what happened to me. Hooked like a fish.
Hook, line, and sinker. Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. Leslie Stahl, it's been a delight talking to you. I know that you are, you know, moving about and telling folks about becoming grandma. It's been a very long time since I've had the opportunity to talk to you, since 2000 when you came down to Texas and interviewed my boss, Tom Joyner.
Oh, God, that was one of my favorite all-time stories.
Oh.
First of all, I just love him. I personally, just person to person. He was getting married.
Yeah.
At the time we were there.
That's right.
But I also met his father.
Yes.
Hercules.
Yes, absolutely.
And I fell in love with Hercules.
Yeah.
And please tell Tom that if I had had a grandson, which I don't, I have two granddaughters, but if I'd had a son, I was going to push for the name Hercules. I love the name, and I loved him.
That
so,
is
there you
so
go.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. The book is called Becoming Grandma, The Joys and Science of the New Grandparenting, and she is the wonderful Leslie Stahl. I'm Sybil Wilkes and Sybil's Book Club. Thanks for joining us.